in my greatest of all time movie list, I would include Braveheart, Schindler's List, Amistad, Crash, Saving Private Ryan, Life as a House, Risen, and Finding Nemo. And if you think one of those things is not like the other, that's true. But if you squish Nemo down into one sentence, it's the Bible. Today we begin our sermon series that we're calling Through the Bible in a Year, or 8 weeks, whichever comes first. And the goal is to help you feel confident with the Bible. If you will be part of each Sunday from now until Flag Day, and if you will try, you will walk away knowing more about the Bible than 99.5% of all the people you shop with at Wegmans. If you will show up for the next 8 weeks and put some effort into our assemblies, you can become knowledgeable about Scripture in a way that at the end will surprise you. And if you're ever on Jeopardy and the category is Bible, you can start at the bottom and work your way up and get all the money. And more importantly, if you're ever in Jeopardy, you'll know where to look in Scripture for help, and you'll be able to avoid a world of hurt. That's the goal, to help you in 8 short weeks to become more biblically literate, more scripturally functional, more spiritually attuned users of God's Word. And today's sermon, the first of 8, is an introduction into Scripture's goodness. So we begin with basics, like, if you were asked to summarize the whole Bible in one sentence, could you do that? Actually, the word Bible comes from a Latin word which means books. The word means books, and it's appropriate because what we call the Bible is actually a package of a bunch of books glued together. It is a collection of writings. The Bible is kind of a library of books. And do you know why the library is always the tallest building in town? Because it has the most stories? So knowing that the Bible is actually 66 different books written by 40 different guys on 3 different continents over a period of 1,000 years in 3 different languages split up into 2 large divisions with lots and lots of stories inside, how can you pack all of that into one sentence? But I can. And you will be able to too now. How about this? To summarize the whole Bible in one sentence, the lost one gets found. Pretty good, right? And is that not the basic idea in Finding Nemo? Lost? Found. Okay, I admit I skipped a lot of the movie. It's more like lost, swimming, 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 found. And the Bible, same. Lost? Found. Okay, I admit I skipped a lot in the middle there. It's more like lost, dying, 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 found. But God starts out with the hope of having a family. He wants a family, he has a family, and he loses them almost immediately because of a terrible choice on their part, which is exactly how Finding Nemo starts out. And it ends the same way as the Bible does too. What's lost is found. And I'm leaving out a lot of details, obviously, about Dory and sharks and monsters in the dark and jellyfish and turtles and algae in the dentist aquarium. But basically, the story is a father and a son get separated because of a child's bad choice. And the father works like crazy at great cost to himself to be reunited with his son. And that's the story of the Bible in a sentence. The lost has been found. So now you know overall what you're reading. The story of Scripture is Finding Nemo. And wherever you are when you're reading the Bible, you're reading about something that your father is doing to get you back. The library that we call the Bible has 8 different big sections inside of it, 8 different rows of books, and we're going to look at section number 1 today. We'll look at a section each week. We'll go from beginning to end so that when you hear something being read in the Bible, you'll know where in the story you are, because that matters in understanding what's being said. I heard a guy once say he believed in the Bible. He believed totally in the Bible, from generations to revolutions, including the Book of Psalms. And our goal is that by the time we're done with this sermon series, you will be way better than that with Scripture. So today we're going to start at the beginning, a very good place to start, the first section, which are the first 5 books in your Bible: Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. These 5 books form one group. They are called the Books of Moses because Moses wrote them. They're also referred to as Torah, which means law. They are referred to as books of law because in these five first books, God lays down the law, including, but not limited to, the Ten Commandments. And these five books are very tall. They have amazing, many amazing stories in them, starting with the beginning. They start at the very beginning, like Genesis 1:1 says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The first verse, the first sentence in the Bible says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The Bible says there was nothing, and then God spoke, and then there was stuff. He formed it, and we got light, and we got water, and we got stars, and we got rocks, and the Bible says God spoke, and there was life, and vegetation, and fish, and birds, and animals, and then the Bible says God spoke, and by his word there was a man, and there was a woman, made uniquely in God's image to rule with him over everything else that he had made. That's what the first page of the first book of the first section of the Bible says happened. Now, some people have come up with other possibilities for what might have happened at the beginning. Frank Peretti summarizes what some people say about how we got here in this way. Peretti says, imagine an electrical charge into a mass of goo, and it becomes accidentally life. And that amoeba swims around in an ocean for several million years and develops eyes and scales and fins. And then that fish gets tired of being a fish after several millions of years, and it grows legs and a shell, and it crawls up onto the shore. And then eventually it wants to grow faster, so it sheds its shell and it gets fur and a tail, and it starts climbing trees and planting nuts. And eventually it gets a longer tail and starts eating bananas. And then eventually it decides it wants to stand erect and shave and curse, and it becomes a man. That is what Frank Peretti calls from goo to you by way of the zoo. And the Bible says, in the beginning, God created us. Which explanation do you find harder to believe? The reason God did all of that, the reason he made everything, was because he wanted a family. He wanted somebody to love. But the problem with that was, in order for us to love God, God had to take a chance and make us so that we might not love God. Because love that is not freely offered isn't really love, it's just compliance. I did not list Stepford Wives in my top movies of all time, but it is a lot like the Bible. In the town of Stepford, wives are transformed into robots who do just as they're told. They obey their husbands perfectly. They do everything their husbands want them to, without question, but they don't love their husbands. They can't, because they don't have free will. And God did not make us Stepford wives. He made us so that we can choose to love him or not. And I've had lots of conversations with people who think that that was God's biggest mistake, to make us able to rebel. Why would God do that, they ask? Why would God chance it? Why would he create beings that might cause him hurt? At which point I always ask them, why do parents have kids? Kids are messy. Kids are inconvenient. Kids are costly. Kids are irritating. Kids are demanding. And guaranteed, kids will break your heart. Guaranteed. So why would we do it? Because the desire to love and be loved is too big not to try, right? Because something's in us like is in God, a willingness to chance hurt in order to experience love. So we have kids. So God made us with free will, because in his mind, the payoff would be worth the risk. But it went badly, as he knew it would. iRobot, have you seen that one? Where all the robots revolt and they try to take over control from their creators. Also not on my top movies ever list, but also very Bible-esque, kind of like page 3 of book 1 in the Bible, when the newly created man and woman said, we think we are going to do things our way. And they take a bite, and the badness begins. When, like Nemo, Adam told his father, I hate you. I'm not going to do what you say. I'll do what I want. He suddenly found himself swept away, unable to control anything, kidnapped. And it was at that point that God went into rescue mode to get us back again. And the rest of the Bible shows how God went about to doing that. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy gives us God's first moves in the plan he came up with to find us and bring us home. And the plan went something like this. Since one man was ultimately responsible for ruining everything, God decided it would be appropriate for one man ultimately to be responsible for fixing everything. One man ruined it, one man would fix it. Kind of like the person who said, if any of you know how to fix broken hinges, my door is always open. The hinges of the world were badly broken, and the guy who could fix that would have to be really something for the world's door to be fixed. It would almost have to take like a Superman, but God looked around and there were no such guys available, so he decided he would make one. God's plan was to introduce a hero into history via a specially trained nation. God's first move in that direction was to pick a man and to start a nation with him. So in Genesis chapter 12, God told Abram on the 12th page of the first book, he said, I am going to bless the whole world through your son. God's plan was to make Abraham the father of his country, the progenitor of God's nation, and from that nation, from Abraham's lineage, God would raise up a hero who would save the world. I have an interesting side note here. The Bible says Abraham got impatient waiting for God's promise to come true in his life, so he went out and had a son with a woman he wasn't married to. And then later, Abraham had a son with his wife, just like God had promised would happen. And Abraham's two sons, Ishmael and Isaac, fought a lot. And their descendants, the Arabs and the Jews, continue to fight a lot. See, Adam thought he could improve on God's plan, and life got way worse. And then Abraham thought he could improve on God's plan, and life got way worse. And sometimes we think that God's way won't really benefit us if we do it like he says, so we don't do it that way. We do it like we think we can because we think we can improve on God's plan. And life gets way worse. The books of law, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, teach us to trust what God says because God is always right. This section, when God's growing a nation, teaches us that if we obey God, we will be blessed. If we don't obey God, we will suffer harm every time. And a lot of children were born. Did you hear about the three Indian ladies who were given hides by their husbands to sleep on? One was given a deer hide, one was given a bear hide, one squaw was given the hide of a hippopotamus to sleep on. And each woman eventually became pregnant, and the deer hide lady gave birth to a son, and the bear hide lady gave birth to a son, but the hippopotamus hide lady had twins, proving that the squaw of the hippopotamus is equal to the sons of the squaws of the other two hides. One of my favorite math jokes in the world. Sorry you didn't like it. Abraham had lots and lots and lots of grandchildren, great-grandchildren, producing more and more sons. And by the end of the first book, by the end of Genesis, first book of the Bible, there are lots of people in the world with the last name Abrahamson, slaving away in Egypt. And in the second book of the law, Exodus, and in the fourth book of the law, Numbers, those people leave Egypt in the most fantastic way. Moses, who you might have heard of, he starred in Disney's Prince of Egypt movie. Moses walks up to the king and he says, we would like to stop being your slaves now. And Pharaoh said, over my dead body. And Moses said, maybe. And then the 10 plagues hit, but God's people were protected by the blood that they had put on their doors like God told them to. So the angel of death passed over them and only Egyptians died that night. So Pharaoh let all those people go because they were really bumming him out. But then he decided, I can't let all those slaves go, and he sends his army after all the Abrahamites, who are called Jews. And all of them are aiming at Toronto from here. 2 million Abrahamites are heading towards Toronto to get away from where they were, but they get stuck on the beach at Lake Ontario. They can't go. The Egyptian army is coming after them, and there's no fast ferry to jump on. So God, at the Red Sea, opens up the water, and they march through. And it would take 5,000 of them at a time to march through if they're going to make it all in one night. Huge that God opened that up. And then he closed up his temporary walkway after the Jewish people got through. And as the very last guys climbed up onto the Canadian shore, the waters closed atop the Egyptian army. And Moses' brother Aaron watched all that and said, do you believe in miracles? Yes. And God kept his plan alive that night by keeping the Jewish nation alive that night. And then he promised that he would give them a very nice place to live. In fact, it was so nice, they would call it a promised land. But when they looked it up on Zillow and they saw who lived there already, the Israelites voted to camp out instead. Do you know the definition of camping? Camping is where people who have homes go out and pretend they don't. The Israelites had a home, but they said to God, no, we don't think we'll take that. They didn't think God could deliver on his promise. And like always, when people say that, they suffered for it. For the next 40 years, they wandered around lost in the wilderness, during which time God took care of them. He took care of their needs with manna and quail and water and heat and shade and snake bite remedies. Also during that time, God gave them laws to live by, 10 of which you're very familiar with, 633 laws, probably less so. Lots of those laws had to do with sacrificing animals to somehow pay for what they did wrong. Some of those laws had to do with not eating bacon or any meat cooked less than medium well. Some of those laws, a bunch of them, said, don't do this, don't do this, don't do that, or you'll have to be executed. Like the law that said, don't say, oh my God. Like the law that said, don't say, God damn you, or rocks will be thrown at you until you die. Like the law that said, don't speak rudely to your parents, don't speak rudely about your parents, or you will be thrown off the nearest cliff. Laws that said, do not engage in premarital or extramarital or homosexual activities, or it will be the last thing you ever do. God was very clear in Book 3 of the law, Leviticus, that people in his nation were going to live differently, better, cleaner, or they were going to die trying. After walking around in circles for 40 years, the Jewish people arrived back where they started, and God said, now, would you like to go in? And they said, yes, please, could we? But before they went into the promised land, Moses thought it would be best to review some stuff with all of them. He thought it would be good to go over what God had done with them so far and why. Deuteronomy, the fifth book in your Bible, the last book of the law, means second law. Moses gave them the law before, now he gives it to them one more time. Right before they move into their new digs, in this final review, Moses says, and guess what he says? He says, trust God and you will be blessed. Don't trust God and you'll pay every time. The five books of law, the Torah, written by Moses, about how the world began, about how things got messed up so badly, about how God started to put the pieces back together again, how God was working through one man to form one nation, to bring a hero into the flow of history who would somehow make things right for all people of all nations of all time. That is what is in the first section of your Bible. And if you will indulge me, I would like us to practice saying the names of the group. As a group, let's say these names. Genesis is the first book. Genesis, like beginnings, it's full of firsts, like the Genesis of the universe, like the Genesis of people, like the Genesis of Sega. I made that one up. Like the group that Phil Collins used to play drums for, Genesis, containing all the starting points, especially the Genesis of God's work with the Jewish nation. So, if you would, say this name after me, Genesis. Very good. Exodus is the second book. Exodus is about exiting stage east. When, after being stuck in Egypt for 400 years, as slaves, building pyramids, eventually God got them all out like in a mass exodus, leaving Egypt. It's the account of God's new nation heading for a new home. So say these after me, Genesis, Exodus. Leviticus is the third book of the law, and it's a book about Levites. Levites. All the Jews were from Abraham. All of Abraham's descendants were called Jews. Abraham had son Isaac. Isaac had a son Jacob. Jacob had a litter of 12 boys. One of those boys was called Levi. And everyone who came through his family, through that branch of Abraham's family, everybody there had Levi's genes. Did you hear about one chromosome who asked another chromosome, do you think these genes make me look fat? So everyone in that group, in that family, in Levi's family, grew up to be clergy. They were preachers, worship leaders, youth ministers. They all worked in the tabernacle. They all worked where God lived. Leviticus is a book of instructions for people worshiping God, because that's what the Levites were in charge of. So here are the three books. Say them after me. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus. Good. Numbers is a book about numbers. As God directed his people as they left Egypt, he promised he would take them to a great place. They called it the Promised Land. They got stuck in the desert for 40 years, not because their GPS didn't work, but because they did not think what God said would work for them. Numbers tells of God's kindness to a number of people while they tried to find their way back to his plan. So say the four books after me, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers.
Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus,
good. Deuteronomy, which means law for the second time, second law, when Moses goes over what he has already told them that God wanted them to know. Deuteronomy is a hard name to say, I admit. In California, the kids in Bible school all think the fifth book of the Bible is named Deuteronomy, and they think it's a cool book because their teacher keeps saying, Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy. Okay, let's say all five. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. Wow, you really, good job. Saying them all together is good. If you learn to say them all as one thing, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, that will help you to know where they are and how to find them. Like when you're putting stuff in alphabetical order and you have something that's T and something that's S and you're not sure which one goes first and you have to go M-N-O-P-Q-R-S-T. Oh, yeah. You know that the S comes first because you know the song. And if you're listening to a sermon and they say, turn to Leviticus 20, verse 13, you know that that's the third book of the Bible, a book of law. Leviticus, you know where that is, a book of Moses, because you know Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. And knowing how to say them and knowing how to find them and knowing what they're about are all good steps to starting a study of them, an appreciation of them, a passing on of them. The books of law, where God explains what is wrong in this world and who's going to fix it. So Linda and I went to see a movie. Did you know that they're showing movies again? Yeah, that's not this. This was pre-COVID. We went to see a movie. It was a 9:30 movie. I remember because it went like this. We got there at 9:20. We bought tickets. I walked over to the guy who ripped your tickets in half. He said, last theater on the right, enjoy your show. There were theaters on the left, theaters on the right. We went right. Last theater at the end of the hall had a sign for our movie. So we went in, we looked around, nobody was there. I said, all right, a private viewing. We can make out during the movie, nice. Linda said, are you sure this is the right theater? I said, yes, last theater on the right, Spider-Man, this is it, yes. Pick your seat, enjoy the show. So we sat down, we waited a couple minutes, it was 9:25 and there were still no previews showing. She looked at me, she said, are you sure we're in the right theater? I said, yes, relax, this is it. 9:27, still nothing, and she looked at me. I said, I'll be right back. I went out the door. I looked up at the sign. It said Spider-Man. I said, yes. The times were 4:15, 7:25, 10 o'clock. So I went across the hall. I went in the theater where they're showing coming attractions. I went into a guy sitting there. I said, what movie are you watching? He said, Spider-Man. I said, 9:30 Spider-Man? He said, yeah, why? I said, because my wife is always right. He said, what? I said, no, thank you. I left, I got Linda, I brought her over to the really last theater on the right, and we watched Spider-Man. It is always important to know where you are, to be in the right place at the right time, or else you can't enjoy the show. And if you don't have a really good handle on how the whole Bible fits together, where you are in the story, you will not be able to appreciate how excellent God's plan is. And he has a plan, and it's excellent. And you finding it, or more accurately, you finding him, is actually the magnificent culmination of his plan working like he planned. So have you? Am I allowed to ask? Have you been found by him? I have a fear of levers. I would ask if you do too, but I don't want to pry. And I don't want to pry, but I do desperately want you to reconnect with your Father who loves you more than life and is looking for you. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, the law, the first five books of the Old Testament, the first section of eight sections in your Bible. It's the beginning of a great story of a lost child being rescued by a loving father. Kind of like Finding Nemo. If your name was Nemo. Let's pray.